For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Hustle and Pro, talking sports from youth to pro. We'll bring you compelling stories from athletes, coaches, professionals, and fans, all with the common thread of something we love to talk about, sports. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, coming to you from Visual Learning Solutions in Frisco, Texas. Today, we're talking with a 9-year MLS player and 2-time MLS champion. Before we get started with the interview, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor. Then we'll be back to meet our guest and get started with this episode of Hustle and Pro.
This episode is brought to you by I-9 Sports. I-9 Sports helps kids succeed in life through sports. Their leagues are perfect for boys and girls ages 3 to 14 with convenient one-day-a-week formats for practices and games on the same day. I-9's leagues and clinics are available in football, soccer, basketball, baseball, volleyball, zip lacrosse, and more. Learn more at i9sports.com. I-9 Sports, the way youth sports should be.
Let's jump into this discussion. Our guest is Michael Chabala. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So I mentioned at the top that you are a 9-year MLS player, a 2-time champion, but can you give us, in your own words, an overview of yourself, your pro career?
Yeah, I mean, originally from California, went to school at the University of Washington. Got drafted in 2006, the first year of the Houston Dynamo. I think originally it was called like 1946, or it was a weird name. But yeah, so I played professionally for 9 years and was fortunate to be on one of the best MLS teams, I think probably in the history so far, arguably, if you will. But where I played for the Houston Dynamo, Portland Timbers, and DC United, and then finished my career back in Houston in 2014.
So I have to say, you are the first Houston Dynamo player that we've had on. Most of who we're talking to, I mean, we're here in Frisco, Texas, so if this wall wasn't here, I could see Toyota Stadium. So we are in FC Dallas country, and so I have a lot of FC Dallas players on this show. So welcome, and you are our first Dynamo player. And I, you know, after some guys leave here, I follow them into their Dynamo career, like my Fafa. I love Fafa. So I'm happy to have a different point of view from an MLS or former MLS player on this show. Before we get into that, I do kind of want to know, before your pro career started, who were some of your sports influences as you were growing up?
I think the one that just stands out the most is David Beckham. I think just like any young player, you just look to the stars and see who's, you know, who's attractive as a player, your position, or just who's getting the most attention. I love Thierry Henry. I love Pelé, Maradona. But David Beckham for me was always my favorite and someone that I always looked up to. And, you know, being able to play against him in my pro career was a dream come true. So, I would say him.
So did you know, I feel like it was just really recent news that both two names you just mentioned, Thierry Henry and David Beckham, just made the cut for the finalists for the Hall of Fame ballot. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I'm not surprised.
That is.
Incredible.
And footballer. And there's Clint Dempsey and several others that it feels like a really long list for finalists, for a really probably short list that will get inducted. So that'll be an interesting thing. But I'm a David Beckham fan too. I have been for a long time. And I think that he's probably on my husband's list of top influences here or also. So yeah, I like him too. So I hope he gets in at some point, whether it's this year or
not.
Yeah. So you are known as a fan favorite when you were playing and embracing the community that you play within. So especially, you know, being a transplant from California and living in Houston, and you stayed in Houston. So tell me about those connections and what you've kind of built there in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was on one of the best teams in, I mean, I would say the history of MLS, team that won back-to-back championships. And I didn't really play a lot in the first three, four seasons. I mean, you're talking about guys like Dwayne De Rosario, Pat Onstad, Sue Holden, Brad Davis, Brian Ching. I mean, the list goes on. And I learned an incredible amount. More so that's probably helping me after my career just because of what I learned in the locker room. But what I did take on was, well, I mean, I didn't really make a whole lot as a professional when I was playing in the very beginning because this MLS wasn't quite there yet. But for whatever reason, I just always felt like my network was my net worth. And so I really put a lot of energy into the community. I took on this approach of, I am guilty of wanting attention and, you know, trying to feel like a professional in some ways. So if I could get a free dinner at a restaurant or, you know, network my way onto a television show or a podcast or radio interview, I mean, I basically did it. And I think those relationships really helped me further along in my career and definitely post-transition. But I felt like I was actually, I mean, well, first off, the team was leaning on some of the guys that weren't playing as much because they were looking for guys to be ambassadors in the community to get our brand out, our name out. So when you're not playing as much, you probably have a little bit more time and energy to spend. So also being young, single, some of the other guys were older with kids, it just was a different dynamic. So I just really threw myself into the community. And, you know, I think it was one of the big reasons, not necessarily for the success of the club, but I would say for the overall engagement, I would say more in the community. Guys like Chris Wondolowski, Stuart Holden, you know, myself, I mean, just constantly out in the community, Pattiani, I mean, we were just constantly out meeting people and networking, and it just really paid dividends later down the line.
But that's how you have to do it. If you're not getting minutes on the field and they're not talking about you for that, then why not get out in the community and, you know, shake hands and do field dedications and charity work and all of the things that you have those the opportunity to do that most people don't. And then you right. can kind of still be front and center and a representative of the team without getting the playing time that you want. So I think it's smart and that you could leverage that because there are, I think there's a lot of players, I mean, just being around the team here as much, there's a lot of players who shy away from that and who aren't raising their hands to be poster, you know, poster models when a new kit comes out or whatever. But there are like these select few
right.
that we see every time. Like we see Paxton Pomacall and Eddie Munjoma, and I always joke with them like that they're kind of like the models. And I don't know if they're being told to do that or not, but they're doing it. And so I think yeah. that some people shy away from that. So yeah. for you to step out and do that, I do think it probably affected, you know, how people know your name later, especially like locally, and how if, when you go on, there's always a life after soccer or life after playing. So yeah, I think that
absolutely.
You probably were able to capitalize on that later. Okay, so I do want to talk
about.
Was.
I agree with you for sure.
Yeah, so I do want to talk about the awkward or sometimes difficult dismount from playing professional sports. I mean, no matter what the situation is, when you leave from being a player to whatever you are after a player, it's always tricky and it can be hard in different ways, in different circumstances. So I've heard you talk about the corporate pass around that some players experience, especially in the MLS. And I want to get your input on that. What do you mean by the corporate pass around?
I mean, I would say that, you know, one of the things in going back even to your last question or you know, comment regarding, you know, guys getting engaged in the community, I think it's a disadvantage for those guys not to because of like the opportunities, as you mentioned, like, you know, we can't play forever. It's like financial planning, right? Like you're investing in the future. And I think it was an old mentality of, you know, the league and coaches just wanting players to really focus on the now and being really present, which we must to continue to keep staying, you know, at the top level of their game and our game and being able to play for as long as you possibly can, especially if you're making the right amount of money. But when it's not that case, I think it changes. And I think just specifically towards like transitioning and that aspect of it, I mean, you know, how do you tell someone to find something to do, you know, when they did exactly what they wanted to do for as long as they did, you know, and so it's really challenging for players to just leave the game and then say, okay, well, like now what am I going to go and do? And there's not a lot of development. I know Major League Soccer is working, you know, they're working towards a place where players can continue to keep winning off the field, but there's just a really big drop off. And I really felt that when I transitioned. So, I mean, you bounce around, there's not really a good clear path of, you know, networking, or not even networking, but shadowing, or at least understanding what you're interested in doing when you finish. And
besides,
so I think that's a challenge for players when they finish, because what do you know? Soccer. So what are you going to go and do? It's coach. It's, I mean, let me just say this, the game is opening up so much for players now where, you know, you can find something that you want to do. For me, it just, I didn't want to coach kids. You know, I love the pro game, but I was burnt out. So I've been able to personally find something that still, you know, keeps me connected to the game and giving back. But I did jump around through a couple of corporate jobs because, you know, that's what they tell you to go and do. And I think it's really challenging, at least for me, at least, to go sit still and do something completely against what my passion
is. Sure. So it's not your natural personality. And so you talk about kind of getting passed around. So you won back-to-back MLS championships in 2006 and 7, went to Portland in 11, then to DC in 13, and left the league in 2014. So after, you know, I can imagine building those relationships, then having to break them and move on, and then starting to build, and you don't know how long you're going to be there. And then, you know, your career is starting, you know, there's not a lot of Wondolowskis that are playing forever, right? So you know you're winding down, and then you're done. The clock just, you're done. So was the ending of your pro playing time like a dark time in your life and difficult transition?
Yeah, my grandfather passed away at 30. My trade from Portland to DC, I kind of really took a step back. I mean, at the time I was only making, you know, $60,000-$70,000, which, you know, to a lot of people, that's a lot of money. And I mean, to me it was at the time, but I mean, I wasn't saving any money. I was in a tough spot. And I'm just finally getting to that age where you start to realize, okay, like, what am I doing with my life? And this is great, but like, what does the future hold? And then my grandfather passing and approaching 30, I just kind of, the lights went on and I stepped back and said, okay, I love this so much, but I don't want it to prohibit me from having a future and a life that, that I'll be proud of. And that's a really hard thing to accept. And I think once that happened, you know, I was let go from DC, and then, you know, I called Dominic Kinnear in Houston. I said, hey man, I'm out of a contract. I just come and train with you. And I just stepped back and said, where is the best place for me to transition? Because I just felt it was coming. I knew it was going to happen. And he's like, yeah, come in and train. We'll figure it out. I just knew I needed one more year to just get some money and also start figuring out what I wanted to do. And fortunately, you know, one of the players ended up going to Europe. There was a spot opened up. I played well and I got a spot, which helped me for that year. And I just dug into those contacts. But the last day of my contract in 14, or last day of preseason, you know, they didn't pick up my contract, and I was planning on continuing to keep playing another year. You know, I went into that transition. It was a World Cup year and I was without a team, and it was very arduous. I mean, I was suffering from, I mean, I would say a borderline alcoholic. I was severely depressed. I was broke. I was living on couches. And it was really challenging, and it was a very dark place. And I say the hardest thing was that there was really nobody there for me. There was, you know, Major League Soccer teammates, and I don't blame the teammates because they're hyper-focused on their jobs, their careers. And, you know, it's kind of a funny but sad saying that, you know, when somebody leaves or is traded from a locker room, it's like they die or, you know, they're just maybe your best friend,
well,
or buddy,
like,
but you know, you might keep in touch or see him, but it's the reality.
It's like out of sight, out of mind. They're not in that, your rotation in your world and active anymore in your life, like how you know, your life is built every day when you're competing. And you mentioned like you have more time to do things like drink and not have to take care of yourself as much because you're not held to these high standards of being a professional athlete. So I'm sure that takes its toll on you physically. But so I want to, like, I've read that you say that your true calling is hashtag keep the ball rolling. So I want to learn a little about that. Like, what is the life that you've built now around soccer after leaving the MLS?
Yeah, I mean, my greatest passion was always the locker room. I love the relationships and the connections that I made while I was playing. You know, like I said, I struggled after my career. I was really heartbroken. It was really hard for me to be around the game. I, you know, was coaching kids like everybody else. And I really was trying to figure out, like, what do I want the next 5 years of my life to look like? Like, where do I want to be when I'm 35, 40? And I love the game, but I just couldn't see myself doing that. I always challenged myself intellectually about, you know, I would like to, you know, maybe get into the corporate world, see what there is that's outside of football. And I mean, I worked at Morgan Stanley in the private wealth management sector. I worked at a private equity firm. I brokered natural gas for 2 years, and I hated every single part of it. I hated the suit and tie. I hated shaving every day. Hating being told what to do. And
that doesn't seem like
it.
A natural so fit when, for somebody like you who's played physically and, you know, been a competitor. Does it seem like something that's just going to be easy for you to jump into a desk job like that?
I admire and you know, all the guys that have been able to in some capacity. But for me, it just wasn't it. I wasn't feeding my soul of what really makes me happy. And at the end of the day, I just look myself in the mirror. It's like, I'd rather, you know, do something that I love than, you know, make a bunch of money doing something that I hate. And it just is really hard, like I said, to go do something when someone asks you, okay, well, like, if you can do anything in the world, what do you want to do? And it's like, well, I did it. And so I stepped back and I was wanting to stay in shape. I really wanted to, you know, make a run to come back and play professionally. So obviously I needed to work out and do something that was going to be keeping myself active and healthy. And so I started doing all these like workouts at Barry's Bootcamp and SoulCycle and CrossFit. And simultaneously, I was super lonely. I was wanting to meet a girl. I was wanting to make guy friends because all my buddies were playing. And, you know, I was going to all these other workout concepts. And what I realized was, number one, how disconnected our world was and is. You know, everybody is going to these workout concepts classes because they want to have the opportunity of meeting someone. Now, don't get me wrong. They want to work out. They want to look good. But, you know, you could go for a run. You could do a million other things, right? But, like, why are you going to these group fitness classes? And yet nobody wants to introduce themselves. They all preach like they're a team, a tribe, a club, a community. I'm like, well, let me tell you what a team looks like. That looks like you putting your phone away. That looks like you shaking everybody's hand when you walk in that locker room. That looks like you and getting to know the person next to you. That's a locker room to me, right? So what I realized was this boutique fitness world was full of shit, excuse my language. And I just said, you know what? And the workouts actually were below average in my opinion, because I'm just a cardio athlete. And, you know, I was wanting to be soccer fit, if you will. So I just started doing my own workouts and my friends just said, hey, can I work out with you? I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. And slowly but surely, you know, time just went on. I was coaching kids. I started working with the parents and I realized there was nothing in the market for soccer and fitness, for the general fitness community. And I just really got excited about it. I love the idea of creating an environment and atmosphere that everybody would be welcome regardless of your skill or fitness ability. And I was really motivated by a company called SoulCycle. I thought it was a great idea, but maybe I could create it for soccer. But what I really felt was, and the true motivation and passion for me was recreating a locker room environment so I could feel like I had a place I could call home. And I also wanted to create a business or an opportunity or place that I could help my teammates, former teammates in the soccer community, because I didn't want people to experience what I went through. And so at the end of the day, like, I was outside back. I didn't really score a lot of goals. I scored two in my career, one against FC Dallas and one against Portland.
You had to say that. And, you had to add that in there.
I got lucky. I'm a Texas boy. You know, we're all from the same state. It's all good. But I always created assists. Like, I was constantly looking to connect people. That's something that I just really enjoyed, whether it was, you know, you needing a babysitter. And, you know, I know somebody that was looking to do that, or a financial planner, somebody that can fix car windows. Like, I just enjoy bringing people together. Like, that was just something that I enjoyed, or creating assist for Brian Ching to score. I mean, so naturally that was just something that I was passionate about. And so when I started creating my company, I just naturally started meeting people and connecting people. And so it really was about the locker room. And that's been godsend. It's been something that's been helping me ever since finishing my career, to be able to find something I'm passionate about and helping people connect.
You keep bringing up the locker room. And I feel like off the top, you brought that up, saying how the things you learned when you weren't playing as much, but you were getting the experience and being in the locker room that you bring into now. So that is like a unique piece that you bring into it, because a lot of people can own a SoulCycle or a CrossFit and all the things you mentioned, but not many of them have that player experience and the locker room knowledge of how to like build the team environment and people that you can rely on. So I can imagine that's a big differentiator. So you haven't mentioned the name of it, but I know it's on your shirt. You want to tell us what it's called?
It's not that I'm doing it strategically, like market. Like, I just don't own anything else. Like, I mean this, like, after every single trade from Houston to Portland, DC back to Houston, I just sold my car. And then I, like, got rid of clothes. And I was like, man, I don't want to keep moving around. And I just, it's sad but true. I'm such a minimalist now. And I feel like I'm on a soccer team. Because, like, every single day I just rotate.
That's not sad. I think I like minimalist strategy. I think it's great. No, no, and if it's your business, wear it all the time.
I love it.
Yeah.
People make fun of me. I mean, literally, I haven't had a home in 6 months. Like, I live out of a suitcase. I lived in Brickell, Miami, Austin, Houston. I'm in Los Angeles right now, and I literally travel around. I go and work out. I play soccer with people. Network, connect. I mean, that's literally the future that I created. And literally every single city I go to, it's just a bunch of teammates that are all getting together. But yeah, Sphere is the name of the company. You know, and my uncle came up with the name, and I just kind of told him what I was interested in doing. And he was like, Sphere, super cool. And I,
as it relates to like a soccer ball, is this what it is?
Correct. Yeah. Like it's right here. Yeah. The Pentagon is a panel of a soccer ball. And when it's connected to ball, it's the world really in like a metaphor. So it's all about, connecting the world, like, you know, one pass at a time. So that's the mission of the company. And
I love it. I think
I just get to, you know, go to work on every day.
I think it's so cool that you've managed to, like you said, minimalist, but, and you travel and you're, you know, you're on the go and you're basically still like living that life of getting to travel and play soccer, but in on your own terms, you know, the post life of being the MLS player. So I love it. I think that's awesome. When you're in Frisco, if you're ever up here in Frisco or Dallas, make sure you let us know. And if you're doing any sessions here, so we can check it out.
Yeah. We have one of our biggest communities in Dallas, and Dallas is such a soccer city. I mean, it's amazing, but yeah. We're there. I was just there last weekend. Actually, I love Dallas. It's been, I mean, usually when I go to Dallas, I'm in Frisco because we, you know, the stadium's up there. So it's not necessarily downtown, but our community is in downtown. It's great. But yeah, I love it. Yeah. I'm super grateful. And I think I was never really a playmaker or a creative player. But, you know, when you really think about like what you want in this life, you know, and you really put your mind to something, it's very true. As long as you can, you know, create it in your mind and visualize it and just, you know, kind of put an application. I think the hardest part is just staying consistent, persistent, you know, and just relentless. And I just love entrepreneurship because it's the closest thing to a soccer game and to my past career. I mean, the locker room always changes, but, you know, every day is different. It's a right. long season, and just constantly putting myself in the shoes of myself, you know, 10, 15 years ago when I was aspiring to be a pro, it's like, I'm like a promising freshman in college right now, but there's so many things that could potentially happen to the business myself, you know, that could prohibit me from making it as a pro, but like, I'm not there, but it's like just steps at a time. So yeah, I'm really good.
Yeah. And that's exciting. It keeps you motivated, to keep going and keep learning new things every day and building your business. We tend to bring people up from the Dallas proper up here to Frisco for stuff like sports and, soccer and football. We do that a lot up here. So yes, next time you're in Frisco, we should meet up and do a session together. I haven't played soccer in a while. I played growing up as a little bitty kid and then through high school for fun in college. That's how I met my husband, which is good. He still plays for fun. And then I played in a women's league when I was an adult, which is still funny going back. I think back, like, I cannot believe I played like as a grown-up person, tried to play soccer, but it was awful, but we got through it. And then the last time I actually played in a soccer game was FC Dallas held a media game, and I got to go out there, and it was hard, really hard, because they had former FC Dallas players, a lot of former pro players out there mingling in on each side, and we were coached by the FC Dallas players. Jacory Hayes was one of our coaches, and I think That's Reggie fun. Cannon was the other. And so it was when they were like the beginning of their career trying to make names for themselves. And so, we hardly knew who they were at the time. But, so I haven't played soccer in several years. But if you're ever up here in Frisco, I'll meet up and dust off my cleats. But thank you. Thank you for your time, Michael. I know.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying, like, I think that was one of the biggest things that I saw was, like, and where I feel like I'm giving back to the game in this country specifically is because a lot of people stop playing in elementary school, middle school, high school. Mm-hmm. And if they don't keep continuing to keep progressing, there's really not a lot of places to go unless you go play in a league or somewhere competitive. And so for me, what I realized was that people just want to be able to jump in, be able to play, do a little workout, have fun. And we're such a non-competitive concept. Like we say, we're here to connect, not compete. And, you know, not like we're trying to hand out trophies and stuff, but I just saw that there's nothing in the adult market for adults to be able to connect. And so specifically to what you're saying, I mean, is just bringing people together that would never necessarily play. And one of the best things is when someone buys their first pair of cleats or goes to their first FC Dallas game, I feel like I'm doing my part to get back to the game that's been able to give me so much.
That's great. I love it. Well, thank you for coming on with us. I hadn't met you yet before this, so it was very fun to meet you and learn a little about your background and what you're up to now. So appreciate your time. And thank you for listening to this episode of Hustle and Pro. Have you subscribed yet to our show? You can find us on your favorite podcast platforms, and now you can watch us. We're on YouTube. You can join us on Instagram and Twitter also. However you do find us, please like and review and share us with your friends. It's easy for you, and it means a lot to us. We will see you soon for the next episode of Hustle and Pro.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.